God said, I correct whom I love. And I want you to know I receive as much of the correction on that in my life as anybody. If I don't sit here and look at myself and say, you know what? I've grown cold. I've grown comfortable. Then I know where the problems start to lie. They're with me. Well, folks, this morning I have a message, and I don't know how long it's going to take to do it. It's not going to all be today, those of you that just got scared. But I want to get back. And first, before I get rolling, I want to clarify and make sure everybody understands something I said last week. I did get on a little bit of a soapbox when I made reference to people sending me letters asking me to help repair their plane or buy them a new one. By the way, that has happened. They've never once helped us when we've asked, but yet we're supposed to rely on God, but yet they can send me a letter. Okay, I have problems with hypocrisy. But I want you to know beyond no shadow of a doubt, am I attacking any man or woman of God whose ministry has a plane or they drive a Rolls Royce. If God blessed them with that Rolls Royce, I bless them. Okay? If they got that Rolls Royce through deception and coercion, they will reap the seeds of destruction. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if we get to where we start getting critical and judgmental of people who have things, what we have will be taken. And just so you know, and I know what I started saying, and as far as being the voice of John the Baptist in this day and the voice of Elijah, Jesus said that will happen. Okay? I believe that I am part of that voice that calls for the religious to own up and get back to the Word of God. Okay? Now, having said that, I'm not part of any watchdog ministry. There is a group out there, they call themselves a ministry, and they are hounding every preacher that's on TV. Seriously, that is not a ministry. It comes from within. But neither are any of those ministers above me. Okay? I want you to understand that. There is no such thing as a hierarchy in the ministry. There is no bishop who's greater than a pastor. There's no prophet who is greater than a pastor. They are equal. All the gifts are on the same point to build you up. And when I start seeing people abusing what they've got, the skills, the gifts, the anointing, and all we're doing is hogging it in and making ourselves fat and happy, there's a problem. And as John the Baptist said, as he's looking at the religious scribes and Pharisees of his day, he said, the axe is already laid at the root. In other words, I'm cutting your tree down, starting at the root. So I wanted to clarify that. I didn't want people thinking, oh, you know, Pastor, he's got to be talking about this ministry. No. And I won't tell you who has sent me those letters. Because we get letters all the time from people I've never heard of. Like, just because we're a church doesn't mean I'm stupid. You get the finding out, well, what was it? It was an unfortunate thing, but even when Harold went with, I can't think of the name of the ministry, to Cambodia. When they went over there to help in that orphanage, helping the kids who have been rescued from the sex trade. I said kids. Somebody didn't do their homework, did they? One person snuck in, and his goal was to go over there and violate, and he did. That's why he went, was so he could have sex with children. That's the kind of stuff I say stops. And we are accountable for that. And it's an unfortunate thing that it happened, But it doesn't mean we stop trying to get children out of that situation. And by the way, if you have not been aware, Ohio is one of the biggest abusers of human trafficking. Ohio, where you live. Not only people being taken from this state, but used in this state. So keep that in mind. You need to be praying, but not living in fear. There is a difference. Well, this morning, Angela and I had a really great conversation. You know, when we get the opportunities to sit down, we try to get before she goes to work and have a cup of coffee on the front porch. And we talk about the Word. And I tell you, and everything. We don't sit there and talk about the Word the whole time. Sometimes we'll just talk about what God's doing in our life or our dreams, our kids, or what's going on here in the church. And then there's times we just, man, it boom, boom, we had a really great time the other morning. I got up the other morning and she was watching Kenneth Copeland and Bill Whiston, two of my favorite preachers. And they were talking about something, and we're going to talk about that probably in a couple weeks. And it was just a good reminder. You know how many times you do something and you forget to keep doing it? And you're like, I know that. You know, just like, I know that maybe I shouldn't drink pop. Listen, one's not going to kill you. If you're drinking eight a day, welcome to diabetes. Okay? I'm not going to jump off over here. I know some people that are jumping over here in my family in particular. This is evil, this is evil. Well, here the problem is she's preaching all this and her family is going out behind her back buying food. They're buying all the stuff. And it's like, how about the balance? One pop's not going to hurt you. It's a buttload of sugar, I'll just tell you right now. But, anyhow, we got to enjoying that message and we went outside and we were just sitting on the porch having our coffee and we were just talking about God and why things are and just all kinds of different things. But then we got to talking about faith. We are a faith church. I do not identify with any particular camp, whether it be Word of Faith, Prosperity Message, this, that. The only reason we're full gospel in the paper was because there was a church I knew to be a little way goofy. And I knew personally they were goofy under non-denominational, which is kind of funny in and of itself, non-denominational denomination. So we're full gospel. And what that means is I believe the gospel, the entire gospel of Jesus Christ, what he taught, that is what I identify with. Okay? I believe in speaking to mountains and telling them to move. And sometimes I realize God wants me to go over the mountain. There's a reason. God does everything for reasons. And so as we were talking about that, we were talking about faith. And I don't even remember how we even got on this, but man, I got a whole big message out of it. And I don't think she realized it. And then, even as of last night, I said, God, I'm going to probably teach about this other message. And I woke up this morning with the dog. He was letting her know he wanted out. He needed to go to the bathroom, which we got a puppy a couple weeks ago named Remington. He's a black lab. He's 10 weeks old now, but still working on the whole potty train thing. Yeah, you'll have that. We haven't mopped our floors so well. I think twice a day they get it. But he's working on it. He's getting better. He let her know he needed to go out, so he's in his kennel, and he's harping, and she got up, let him out, and he did his business. But the moment she got up, I heard him, and then I tried to go back to sleep, and I couldn't because God began stirring this message in me today. I laid there for an hour and a half. When I got up, I thought, holy smoke, I've been there preaching to myself. Actually, I was preaching to you in my mind and everything. And so today I want to talk about it, and I really don't know how to jump right into it. But I will tell you this much. This could be even the title, or if you come up with a shorter title, Katie, it fits better. It's great. Knowledge produces fear. Wisdom produces faith. Okay? That's where we're going. Keep that in your mind. Knowledge produces fear. What do I mean by that? Everybody has a knowledge of electricity, do they not? Everybody in here, I don't care who you are, how many of you have been shocked by electricity? Okay, just about everybody in here has gotten shocked by electricity. How many of you are electricians? Three. Now, what's the difference? You got shocked probably by an accident, a shorted cord or something else. Those who have become electricians, and I'm not one by trade, I know a whole lot more than your average bear, but I've done a lot of electric work. We all have a little knowledge of electricity. And what has it done for most people? It produces a fear of electric. Oh, they say it only takes half an amp to kill you. Okay, seriously, I know what they say, but I know the last time I cut into a line that was supposed to be dead and it was hot, it was a 20 amp line. Okay? And I'm still here. So why didn't it kill me? That part I don't fully understand. I just know that I had to go buy a new set of pliers, or lineman's pliers, because they now had a big hole in them. So most people have a knowledge of electric, which has now produced a fear. But you can go even deeper into understanding electricity and have wisdom with it. And operate it properly. Years ago, I remember my dad. My dad was a high voltage lineman. He built towers. Some of them you can actually drive under on 71 down by Polaris. Or not by Polaris, but by Delaware exit. Those towers cutting across there, my dad built way back in the day. And he used to talk about he'd had to work on those things hot. Now, you need to understand, we're not talking about your 220 coming into your house. We're talking about 100,000 volts. Okay, this is the stuff that when you get hit with it, you're dead. And he would talk about when just the static electricity alone would shoot blue flames from their fingers until they actually grabbed hold of the line. But they were getting shocked the whole time that those flames were tipping off their fingers. And they'd grab it and they could work with it. See, they developed an understanding of it. And developed a wisdom with working with it. They knew safety procedures. And you know when you die from electricity? Is when you violate your wisdom. Your safety procedures. There are procedures in place that all these linemen are supposed to know. Always test your line. See, I was kind of foolish. I didn't test that line when I cut into it. Because, well, this person, later on, 2 years later, this same person would tell me that that circuit was off and I'd cut into another line and blew a hole in him. I quit trusting him. He evidently doesn't know what off and on mean. And so, you develop a wisdom in working with it. Now, many times I've done, I don't know how many receptacles, wired lights and stuff, and I did them live. Oh, that's dangerous, Pastor. Well, I ain't going to lie, you can get bit. But do you understand, if you understand wisdom, then you understand how electric works. And you're only in trouble if you touch two wires. Typically, it's black and a green or a white one. You touch those, you're getting bit. But wisdom lets you operate something and operate in a different realm that nobody else can operate in. I do not recommend any of you, unless you have done it and have vast experience working with electric, ever do that. But I will tell you what it does for me. It keeps me on my toes. I know exactly where my fingers are at all times. You make sure that you never touch it. You never violate what wisdom says. You're okay unless you touch both, okay? Now, so knowledge produces fear, just basic knowledge, and wisdom produces faith. Knowledge we can learn. We can sit down and we can learn it, we can learn it, we can learn it. And if just now, you know, who knows? I may have even instilled a little fear with you about electricity just because of knowledge. Many times what happens when we get to preaching the Word of God, we actually create fear in ourselves of, oh, demons. I don't understand demons. You know, so many people today are so afraid of demonic powers. You obviously don't have wisdom of the power that resides within you. And you're not going to get it just sitting and hearing alone. That's why the Word tells us not to be doers only of the Word. Or not do, hearers, I'm sorry. Total misquotation. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. In other words, when you hear something here, you go out and put it into effect in your life. Don't tell me how much you know, because that proves to me how little you know. I remember one time when I was working with the Young Marines, which is a youth organization, kind of like the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, only Marine Corps style. And I had done a boot camp one time and was eventually elected as the executive officer of it, but God called me to start this church, so I resigned. And about a year later, they asked me if I could come and help them with boot camp. Because as it was, I was the only person that they had who had actually been to boot camp. And so I showed up, and, you know, as you heard me tell before, I loved drill. I loved drill. I loved being out there commanding. I knew drill. I could do the movements in my sleep. Had the manual. I had my Bible, okay, that told me how to do everything. And as I'm telling this group, one of the young ladies who I had taught just a year before corrected me. Only problem was, she was wrong. She heard and didn't have the experience. Trust me, one time a month is not going to give you the experience of 4 solid years of every day getting up and drilling can do for you. And she began to try to correct me. That didn't go over real well, especially when I quoted the line to her. She finally realized and stepped down that she was wrong. So she had knowledge, but she wasn't putting it in work. She wasn't enacting it. She didn't know how to do what I was trying to tell them to do. And so many people today, we get knowledge of the Word, but we go out in fear of the world. That's why I told you just a little bit ago, if you're not prepared to be a criminal, okay, you need to understand the first church, the church of James and John and Peter and Paul, they were criminals. It was against the law, Judaism and Roman law. They were being hunted down. Don't tell me they weren't being hunted down. That's why Paul was on his way to Damascus. And the Bible says he was breathing murders. And I love the way that they used the word murder. Not just, I'm going to get it. He was of a murderous spirit. Until Jesus got a hold of him on that very same road. We'll talk about that a little bit here yet too, because that has more to do with our knowledge and wisdom than I can even tell you about. So people today are running around, they've got just a little bit of knowledge of the Word of God, but they have zero wisdom. Zero. Not just a little bit. That's why Jesus always said, "Oh, you of little faith." Little faith. Little to none is what he was telling them. You got such little faith and you should be here. Why? Because the Word is here with you today. We have the benefit of having our Bibles. We have the benefit of having the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And people are still feared. Feared. Now, if that isn't a redneck word, I don't know what is. People are still being bound by fear. And I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to hear this. You can have no fear. A couple years ago, I remember there was a whole campaign going on. No fear here, no fear here. Hogwash. Until you crucify the flesh daily, until you go out, you will have fear. You've got to address them. You've got to conquer them. You've got to put fear under your feet. You can't say, well, I don't fear this. I don't fear that. I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, the devil knows your fear. Aaron, let me explain to you how fear works. Well, and I'm going to use this example. I know several of you in here deal with this. Fear of spiders. Okay? It's legitimate. I've seen people. And I can see all the smiles around. Some of you know somebody, or you might be the person. But a fear of spiders. Fear is fear. Fear always breeds fear. It never produces faith. It always produces fear. And you know why people start developing fear of spiders? Because some moron went out and said that a granddaddy long leg can kill you. It's the most venomous spider in the world. Oh, come on. Joshua, where are you? How many of you eaten? Knowledgeably, I think two. Grossed me out, I'll be honest with you. He just grabbed it. He's still alive. And he ate the venom factory. But what happens with people? They get that in their mind that spider is going to kill me. Oh, the brown recluse, look under your toilet seat. Some of you may not want to look under your toilet seat. Depends on the last time you cleaned it. The brown recluse would be a blessing to you. Oh, the black widow, better watch out. So now we get it in our mind that we're afraid. Why? Because they got eight legs. Ooh. Justin, I have no idea where he developed the fear of flies. Because somewhere along the line, somebody, he got it in his mind that everything that flew was a bee. And he was going to get stung. And he panics. We're getting him past that. I said, you've got to conquer. It's a fly. And that, it's a bee. Don't swat at it. Don't swat at that hornet or that wasp. Because you're going to make him mad and he is going to sting you. So what happens is that fear starts out with something stupid. A fear of a fly, a fear of a spider, a fear of the dark, a fear of people. Do you know how many people are bound by that one? Oh, they sit in churches every Sunday, but they have a fear of people who in their mind are not below them. Okay? On a status pole. They only associate with people they feel bigger and better than. Not because God called them there, because you're not helping anybody up. It's because you think you're better. I know people that do that. I actually know a lot of people, believe it or not. So when you are living in fear of one little thing, it's producing, it's giving birth to fear in another area. For me, like I said, the fear of the dark came about after watching Salem's Lot at 10 years old. Knowing I shouldn't have watched that. And it wasn't the vampire at the end that got me. It was the little boy one. That's the one that got me. I'd lay there every night, my heartbeat pounding in my ear, you know. Do you ever lay down if you had hair over, back in the day when I had hair over my ears, and it sounded like somebody crunching leaves? And I'd lay there, and we had high windows in this bedroom. They were, you know, they were about right here. And I'd lay there in that bed, and I'd just stare at the windows. I'm thinking, God, why couldn't I have curtains? Why do we have to live in a country where we don't put curtains up? I like blinds. You know, I've lived in town enough. I've grown accustomed to blinds. They're a good thing. I can moon my neighbor and he never sees it. No. The whole point of that is so he does see it. But I'd lay there and I developed and ran this fear in my mind, and next thing you know, I was afraid of the vampires, but now I'm afraid of the dark. And all the fears that people in my family started coming upon me. Because fear only gives birth to fear. It doesn't give birth to wisdom. Never does, never will. Well, I think it's only wisdom. No, it's your fear you're speaking out of. I think it's only wisdom not to mess with electricity. Well, yeah, some people shouldn't. Just like I've told Angela, I said, some people should never be on a motorcycle. Now, most of you know Bob and Carol Montgomery. Several years ago, well, I don't know how many years ago, her and Bob were in a motorcycle accident. Somebody pulled out in front of Bob, he plowed into him, she went over his shoulders. But on the way over, she had an open face helmet. On the way over, her jaw caught the back of his helmet, and it broke her jaw. Okay? Now, she got back on motorcycles and would ride with him, not as often as she used to. She now wears, when she does ride, she wears a full face helmet, maybe even with a football grill on the front of it. But several years ago, somebody told her, you need to get your motorcycle license. You should ride beside your husband. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's some people should never be on a motorcycle. And if you're not a quick thinker, that's the first person I say, get off. But anyhow, she had the motorcycle. I'm just telling this because she told everybody, and that's why she got rid of it. She had a fear. She developed a fear because of going over in that accident. Okay? But the thing was, she had this motorcycle in the parking lot at their church, and she drove it straight into a chain link fence. Now, all of us in here who have ridden motorcycles, what's going through your mind? Why didn't you clutch? Why didn't you brake? Because fear paralyzed her. She was unable to control the bike. When you live in, listen, I have wrecked motorcycles. Anybody here who rode motorcycles did not wreck a motorcycle. Okay. If you've ridden a motorcycle, you've wrecked one. I've gone over the handlebars of I don't know how many three-wheelers. I rolled my four-wheeler last year in a creek. That was cold. Well, it was this year, wasn't it? It was like in April or in March. That was ice cold water. But when you give into the fear, it will stop you, first off, from taking that knowledge you just now got and developing it into wisdom. You've got to have some knowledge. You've got to have knowledge to get wisdom. But fear or knowledge only creates fear if it stays there. It's got to go beyond knowledge. It's got to go to intimate revelation. I remember the first time I saw, it was actually JD, let go of the handlebars on his motorcycle. We're doing 60 miles an hour down the road. He just lets all go, stretches back. And I'm like, no, I would do it from time to time just to freak her out. She's like, did you just let go of the handlebars? I said, yeah. But I put them right back real quick because that is kind of foolish. I'm not going to lie. I thought, you know what? In that split second, that's all it takes, and that's why I don't do 100 anymore. Split second, you're done. You went from seeing the end of the road to now you're standing in glory. Wisdom said, don't do that no more. And I didn't. Okay? But I explained this to her, and I explained it, I even mentioned it one time here in church. I said, but you got to understand, there's a law in effect. When that motorcycle is going at a certain speed, it will not lay down unless something knocks it down. It's a law of physics. It's got momentum, it's going to stand. As a matter of fact, in many motorcycle safety, or at least with the police ones, they teach you how to take a motorcycle, or Goldwing, I'm sorry, it's a Goldwing course. You're laying down on the ground with the motorcycle, and they teach you how to stand the motorcycle up while you're under it. That's an 800-pound bike you're standing up, but they teach you how to use the laws of physics to stand the bike up and get out from underneath it and drive back down the road. But people who live in fear, oh, no, it's just wisdom to stay off of it. No, let's call it what it is. You have a fear, and I think you should stay off of it. Because where there's fear, there will be trouble. You got a fear? You know, Jesse got a concussion a couple weeks ago. Oh, let's go. I mean, if you ran into the monster he ran into, you would too. 6'5", 275. But, oh, aren't you afraid? And I know it hit him. Aren't you afraid? No. Because after they started talking about all the symptoms and stuff, I said, oh, Lord. There's been several times I should have went to the hospital. The baseball bat to the forehead was one of them. It wasn't no little black spots. It was lights out. So, oh, but you live in, don't you fear? Are you kidding me? I'm going to tell you right now. First off, that kid right there took me beyond every fear I could ever get. Not that you know, having a child in general didn't do it, but when he was born, I had to keep fear down. Because fear was not going to heal him. Fear was not going to make sure he came out of the hospital. I think I just spit on my sleeve. So for the most part, when we're going to talk about knowledge, we're talking about cunning. It means to know or to learn. Okay, it's the Hebrew. I'm not going to give you the word, but it's 1847. But by the way, here's for those of you who remember popular television, the word that is used in Proverbs for knowledge or to learn is from a unique word that, thanks to Seinfeld, everybody on the planet knows. Yada. Yada. It means to know, to have knowledge. Everybody in here has knowledge of something. But if knowledge is not taken beyond, it only produces fear. And there has to be a relationship. Knowledge of God, just plain old knowledge, means you won't approach God. Let me give you an example. Moses, he brings the children of Israel out of bondage. God has just done 10 plagues on Egypt. And not only that, he had just took them through the Red Sea, walked them across on dry ground, got them across, lured Pharaoh into it, and then collapsed the waters and destroyed everything that used to bind them. And he told Moses, he said, now bring the people to meet me. God said, bring them to me, to meet me. But guess what happened? When they got to the mountain, they looked up, and the mountain has got a big cloud, and there's thunder, and there's lightning on it. You know what they said? We're afraid. You go and bring back and tell us what God said. Their knowledge of thunder and lightning, of visual effects, brought out the fear. And they refused to get to know the author of their faith. Fear did that. Knowledge did that. Just knowledge. I understand lightning. I understand I don't want to be struck by it. I understand when there's thunder, there's been lightning. I understand all of that. It doesn't bother me. Everybody gets worried about storms coming through. I'm kind of like Jesus. They kind of lull me to sleep. Aren't you? You know, I had somebody tell me one day, if you've been by my house, you know I've got 11 cottonwoods up one side of the driveway that are 70 to 90 feet tall. And then I've got a cherry tree that's about 70 feet tall within striking distance of the house. As a matter of fact, we had a branch from one of the trees fall, and it's all the way over there on the other side of the driveway, and it missed the house by 3 inches. And this branch, my 20-inch chainsaw couldn't cut through in one shot. I had to go to the other side to finish cutting it. Okay? It was about 65 feet long. It was huge. He says, I just don't like those trees around your house. You know what? I sleep like a baby. Oh, aren't you afraid that tree's going to fall on your house? It's a house. Well, what about your children? Hey, maybe the tree will fall and just take us all out and we all just go to heaven. I'm not worried about it. Do you understand? When I get on a plane, first off, I understand the laws of thrust. It's only when the engine quit running that I get concerned. Just kind of like a helicopter. First time I rode in a helicopter, had hydraulic oil dripping on me. Pat was a crew chief on there, and he'll tell you. I looked over, and I was like, oh, man, this thing's dripping. Now, I'm Motor T. You don't let things drip. Well, somebody who'd been on helicopter, one of the guys that was part of the crew, said, you don't worry about when a helicopter's dripping fluid. It's when it quits dripping that you worry. I said, good point. I'll keep that in mind. So that word knowledge is actually meaning cunning or to know or to learn. Wisdom means skill. And this is my little definition. Understanding that is acted upon. Okay? It does become wisdom if you do not understand the laws of electricity. That you don't touch it. That you call somebody else. That's fine. You shouldn't be messing with it. If you do not know that, don't mess with it. Because you know how many houses have been wired backwards by somebody that didn't know what they were doing. There is, has always been a wrong side and a right side. Always. And if you've ever gotten shocked by holding the white wire, you should be able to hold that white wire and nothing happens. And you should be able to hold the black wire as long as you're not grounded and nothing happens. But if you got shocked, that means somebody who didn't understand the laws of electricity wired something up backwards. And now you've got a reverse current, and that's why you're getting shocked. Probably why you blew your TV up or your lamp or you keep blowing light bulbs. That's a hint for those of you who have light bulbs that are constantly burning out of one light. Something's wrong. See, there you got cheap bulbs. They will do that. So, let's open our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 8. And herein is why I said it might take us a little bit of time. Because I'm just now getting to my first scripture. Proverbs chapter 8, let's go to verse 12. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. That word sound wisdom means support. I am understanding. I have strength. Now, first off, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know what I've taught you about hate. You are not built in with the capacity to control hate. We cannot just say, boom, I hate this. We are not built that way. Blessing and cursing should never come from the same tongue. Life and death, you are life. You are life givers. I can oppose, okay? Our English word is hate. The better word would be for us is to oppose these things. That is why currently, whenever you see evil and injustice being done and played out on the world scene, on the news, what just took place in Virginia is evil. Okay? Flat out. It is nothing more than evil. And that is why when you heard that, everything rose up within you. Especially when you realize nothing has been said from the White House. Nothing. It's because the evil, the Antichrist spirit of the world is rising up in this country, and we're seeing it. Right is wrong, and wrong is right. There is no justice for what is good and what is right. People are being cleared and exonerated of things that are heinous. And it should not be. That is why within you, when we hear about the Supreme Court making brain cramp decisions, first off, marriage is never a right in this country. It's by God, cut and dry. Even our founding fathers realized that. You want to be gay? Go out there and be gay. I am not responsible for that. However, you are now crossing a line with sanctity of God's laws. And His laws do not lie. Homosexuals cannot reproduce. Cut and dry. So what they're doing now is they've circumvented the laws and they're buying babies. Oh, brother, don't you want that baby to have a good, loving home? It's a perverted home. And love cannot be executed in a perverted home. Anyhow, like I said, I love the person, despise sin. Pride and arrogance in either way, and the perverse mouth. Let me talk to you about this right quick. The perverse mouth. When he says perverse, I want you to understand one thing, and I'm trying hard not to get vulgar or crude here. He's not talking about you nicknaming a body part, calling it something other than what some Latin scientist came up with. He's not even talking about sexual innuendos and things of that nature. Okay, you want me to know? We're talking about truth. The word perverse always means twisted. Today we have people twisting the scriptures to fit their thoughts and their ideologies. Oh, well, you know, brother, you ought to do that. You ought to be doing this. And they start twisting it. First and foremost, always take the scripture in context. Look at it. See what's being said, why it's being said. Okay? Then look at it and say, God, is there anything I can use in that scripture to apply to my life? That's how you use scripture today in your life. You cannot keep twisting scripture to make it fit into your ideologies. People say, well, Jesus didn't say nothing about homosexuality. He didn't have to. Nothing changed. By the way, it's not just a sin, it's an abomination. It goes against creation in general. Every time I say that, I have to think of our founding fathers, and they said, and of nature, and nature's God. Nature has a God, and it says, male, female, go together, produce life. Male, male, produces disease. Oh, you don't know that, Pastor. It was a monkey in Africa. Come on. And neither did God mean for you to be bouncing around from bed to bed to bed to bed. Disease, disease, to disease. We can't keep messing around, twisting scriptures. Well, you know, there, this, that. No. Truth is truth, and that's what he's talking about. Not twisting scripture, not twisting the word of God to fit our sin. All right, now that I've got that off my plate, let's go to verse 20. Still, this is wisdom speaking. And wisdom says, I traverse the way of righteousness. God's way of being right. That is what it is. Righteousness is being right in God's eyes and the way God does things. How many of you figured out there's things that we think are right and God doesn't do them that way? Do you know how God's way of justice is on a corrupt people? People who pervert what He started, pervert His word. He said, the governments are my justice. I overthrow those people because they have twisted Israel, how many times was brought into captivity? They were constantly being overthrown. Why? Because they kept twisting and perverting the word of God and serving idols. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. We'll come back to that one. That I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. So in other words, wisdom supersedes all that we know, because wisdom was with God. God doesn't have to have knowledge. I think you need to understand that. God does not have to have knowledge. He is knowledge. And wisdom is getting to know Him. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." You can play that one since I, yeah. Man, he's good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The reverence of the Lord. You know, I remember back when I picked up my second stripe and my blood stripe. It meant I was now a leader. I was a non-commissioned officer. And one of my buddies came up to me and says, "You know what? I'm not going to call you corporal." I thought, now, you know, in other, I wasn't in any other branches. I don't know, that might fly. But not in the Marine Corps. I'm an NCO now. I said, "You know what, Sean? When we're together, it's just us. I don't care. Call me Woody. I don't care." That's what they called me. I said, "That does not matter. We're still friends." But I said, "If you cross the line in front of somebody who's senior to me, you know I have to address it. I'm bound by the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, that he is to render proper respect." That's reverence. We had a friendship. And by the way, he later learned, because he picked up corporal, and he learned there's a reason for it. You have to have that. So with God, you have to have reverence to Him. He is your heavenly Father. I reverence my father and my father-in-law. But I don't, that seemed really loud, I don't live in trembling fear. Okay? When the commandant of the Marine Corps would come around, people seemed to lose. He's the highest ranking Marine, okay? He's the one who tells us what is what. And we do it. I've heard some people equate it to a cult-like following of the commandant. In Christian terms, he would be a prophet who just came into our camp. And so whenever he would come around, our senior staff would have to come down and say, "All right, now, gentlemen, it's the commandant, okay? Everything's to be covered and aligned. But remember, he puts his pants on the same way you do." In other words, they were telling us that so we wouldn't be stupid. So that we could talk to him. And I've been privileged to meet my commandant, because it changes every couple years, just a few years ago, down at Port Columbus. Get off the airplane, and there stands this little short gray-haired guy with a camouflage jacket on, and it's got 4 stars over here. And I'm thinking, okay. And then I happen to see Gray over here. I told Angela, I said, "That's General Gray." I said, "He was the commandant. I've met him when he was the acting commandant." And so I went and talked to him, and you know what? He was just as personable and as friendly. And he's still going around. He does charitable things for organizations, bringing awareness to veterans' issues and things of that. And, you know, and I thought that was great. But then there were other people, you know, there were soldiers walking by. They didn't know General Gray from Adam. They didn't know who he was. But I promise you, every Marine from my era would have known exactly who he was. Because just like the Hindus, we have pictures of all of our gods on the wall. We do, seriously. Go in any government office, you got a picture of the president, the vice president, and on down. That's just the way it goes. So you know who they are. Now, Hebrews 11:3, turn there real quick. I want to try to just end this for today. Hebrews 11:3. Now remember I said, wisdom produces faith. And you've got to get that understanding in order for it to move. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. What did wisdom say? Wisdom said, I was there. I was there when he framed the earth. What did the writer of Hebrews say? He said, by faith. So in other words, a working understanding of wisdom created the heavens and the earth. By faith they were formed. This is kind of where I'm wanting to really get you going on things. By faith. Enacted wisdom created faith that created the earth. It didn't happen by accident. I don't remember who we were talking. I heard somebody talking about this, and just I honestly am enjoying astrology. Is this the right one or astronomy? Astronomy, not astrology. See, that has always thrown me. I do not read my fortune. Astronomy. I love seeing all the stuff that they're pulling out because we launched a new telescope. Bless God, you keep doing it. But you know they have now discovered there are at least, 50 or 60 that they know of galaxies bigger than ours? Galaxies! Not just little systems, the whole enchilada. And they said, we don't know what's beyond that. And our God created all of it. Did he create flying saucers? I don't know. I know if I read Ezekiel, if I were to draw you a picture of what I'm seeing that he's talking about, it's kind of, it moves like this. Just saying. For all you sci-fi guys. But why not? I'm not sitting here saying God's been trying to get hold of us with aliens. And aliens are not God. So now jumping back over here to Proverbs 9, when he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you begin to fear God, in other words, when you hold God here, you don't doubt he is God. You do not doubt his authority. You do not doubt his abilities. When you begin to hold him here and you get to learn and know him. Fortunately for us, God is infallible. He is not flesh and blood. And all of his ways are right. Being a father now myself, I can stand here and tell you, not all of my ways have been right. And someday when my sons are a little older and they get even closer to know me, I've done my best as they're growing to share things with them so they don't have to struggle so hard to know who their dad is and understand what made him tick and why he ticked that way. But as I've gotten closer to my dad and finally brave enough to ask him things and he's opened up and started sharing things, I understand why he ticks the way he ticks. And some of it I've gathered from his sisters and his siblings, just the way of their home life. I now understand what was going on in his mind and why he did certain things, right or wrong. I understand them. See, when you get closer to God, first off, you got to read your Bible. If you cannot read, we have teachers in here. I was about to volunteer them for some extra cricket. Anybody can really teach you how to read. Read the Bible. You get more comprehension reading than you do listening to a tape, by the way. You can listen to it with a tape all day and not maybe get about 5 words out of the whole tape. It's great. Yeah, you got the word going on. Yeah, yeah. What did you comprehend? So many people can quote you Scripture, but they don't comprehend the Scripture. It's worthless knowledge. So now, fearing God, reverencing God. I want to talk to you here real quick, and I'm going to try to wind this one up here about this. Proper reverence, okay? I want to talk to you about proper reverence. I just gave you a little inkling into it, but proper reverence in any relationship is recognition of the senior's place by the junior, okay? My relationship with Joshua is recognizing he's my son and that he recognizes I'm his father. And you can ask any of my boys when they've questioned that. There's no doubt in my abilities. Let's just leave it there. As many of us boys have found out, when we started questioning Dad's ability, we found out Dad may be old, but Dad still knows how to cheat. Or in their eyes, it's right. It's righteousness. It's our way of being right. We will win, even if we have to plant you on top of the countertop. I thought I could take my dad one day, and I snuck up behind him and grabbed him. And unfortunately, my dad always wore a metal Casio watch. And he reached back and did that right against my side, and that thing dug into my side. And I let go, and about that time, I should have never let go. All I remember was looking at him. My back is on the countertop. My legs are up on the cabinets. And he's laying there on the floor. He just flipped me up and over. And I'm on top of the counter, and he's laughing. Now, I will say this. After I joined the Marines, he never did try anything else again. Neither did my brothers. Well, until my brother joined the Army. Then he learned what grab, twist, pull means. Just use your imagination. Know me and use your imagination. By the junior and the ability of both the junior and the senior to have a relationship that serves both. You can have a first name relationship with God. That's what he wants. That's why he changed just being God. See, the Hebrews did not recognize God as their father. They recognize him as the father, the God of Abraham, their father. Christians recognize God as father. Jesus as brother. Okay? We can know God. That's why we can say the name of God. They can't even say his name. The relationship that is serving both. We give God the honor and the glory. And what does he give us in return? He gives us life. He gives us promises. He tells us what not to do to stay out of trouble. Staying out of it is usually the hard part. Mutual respect is one part of this. When the junior loses the reverence of the senior, they will be heading for a heartache. That's what I was trying to warn my friend about. When I became an NCO, I was now bound by the laws that govern the military and military order to ensure that he showed proper respect. And by the way, there is a chargeable offense. It is disrespect to a non-commissioned officer. They have become prideful and they think they are equal. Remember I shared with you about the young girl who thought she was going to tell me how drill worked, even though she was totally wrong. She had gotten prideful. She had gotten promoted in the group within the little unit there, and she became prideful and thought, I know more than the man who taught me, who taught hundreds of other people about drill. I used to drill my whole platoon. And by the way, I was very, very good at drill. I've told Angela there's times I've often thought I wish I had extended for 1 year and gone to drill instructor school. Just 1 year. That's all you're allowed anyhow as a term, is 1 year term. I'd already been through NCO school. Drill instructor school was a joke. I knew how to drill and I could do it good. But when we start thinking that we know more than the authority above us, we get in trouble because we become prideful. We start showing disrespect. I want to give you an example real quick. Numbers chapter 12. Verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Okay? The big deal here was, is the law has now come down, and they are supposed to only marry within the tribes of Judah. Moses has been married for at least 40 years at this point. He was 40 years old when he was pushed, run out of Egypt. He was gone for 40 years. Had children. Got a father-in-law named Jethro, who was high priest to the Most High. By the way, they... remind me again, Abraham's second wife. What is it? Yeah, Keturah. They were descendants of Abraham. That whole region is where those children went. So technically, he's still married within the bosom of Abraham. Just not Isaac. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? Now here's what you need to understand and grasp hold of. And I don't care what you think about me, I really don't. But when you sit there and say, you know what? What's Pastor know? Listen, I know absolutely nothing without God. I can tell you that much right now. I'm not as smart as I put on. But what I do understand is when I open my mouth, God does things. Because I'm just foolish enough to trust and believe. This is where knowledge comes into problems. That's why you have people like Stephen Hawking, who's got a phenomenal mind. But yet he can't even heal himself. He can't even figure out how to conquer the disease that has debilitated him. Because he denies the very existence of the God who created him. So hasn't God also spoken through us? Well, God gave me revelation, brother. Well, that's fine. You share that with me and we'll see if it's something I want you to share. Most of the time it's revelation I've already taught and you just finally got it figured out. Praise God for your revelation. Now go act upon it so it stays wisdom. Otherwise you lose it. Now the man Moses, I want to say this. Notice that it's in parentheses. And Moses is given credit for writing all these. But if you understand typically how books of the Bible were written, they were brought out, there was a writer. This was more than likely Joshua actually doing the physical writing. Moses was dictating and possibly Joshua was writing. But there's a reason it's in parentheses. It says, now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Now stop and think about it. I heard somebody say, well, this proves that he was humble, that he could write this. No, it does not. I disagree with that line completely. A humble man would never have put that in there. He didn't want to be known. Humility doesn't say, hey, yo, I'm humble. I heard somebody say, I'm the humblest man I know. And I got a few words that would cross the line of being perverse mouth about that. You lying sack of dog hooey. You are not humble. You just sat here and arrogantly told us you were the humblest person you know. Now you must be the only person you know. And there's a reason that the writer made sure that this was put in there. Suddenly, because remember, God heard it. Phil and I were talking about this morning in my office. We think that God doesn't see or hear because we get comfortable. Oh, God didn't see me do that. God didn't hear me say that. God knows the thoughts before you think them. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle meeting. In other words, need to meet you at the church in 5 minutes. So they showed up. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Now, here's what you got to think. You know, they've been sitting there. Oh, you know, God's talked to us. Oh, we're about to get promoted. Ooh, we're going to get, you know, we're equals. That's what they said. Remember? We're equals. But let's remember, God only called that person. Every last person in here who's ever been in any kind of leadership position or work position, everybody in here works, right? You've heard the phrase, too many chiefs, not enough braves. There ain't enough workers because everybody wants to be the boss. It's a problem. Now, then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. I dare say there's not too many people on the planet today, other than having the Holy Spirit within us, that God comes down and meets them face to face. Most of us get the visions, the dreams, speaking through His Word, speaks to our heart, He speaks directly to us. But there was more to Moses. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. In other words, not in parables. Remember, Jesus taught people in parables. And then he said, well, now I'm going to sit down and I'm going to explain these parables to you, my disciples. I'm going to reveal to you. Jesus is now face to face with them. And he's revealing the truth. He's speaking plainly to them. Even plainly and in not dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one of the dead whose flesh is half consumed when she comes out of his mother's womb. Now, here's the verse that proves verse 3. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her. Please heal her, O God, I pray. She's been talking behind his back, leading a rebellion. And you know what Moses does? He turns and he begs God for mercy. That proves verse 3. Because you know what most of us would do? Serves you right, you dumb fool. Touch me again. Bless God, I'll show you. He turned and begged for mercy. Let me tell you kind of, a few years ago I had a situation in which I was getting ready to start a big job. And I got wind that some people involved with the job, they weren't really involved with the job, they just weren't involved with the company, started talking about me. Saying I was going to steal money, I wasn't going to get the job done, blah, 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 blah. I called and confronted. And there were some big words, and the person that used them, I know, he loved to use big words all the time. I was like, well, that's just flat out, that's your trail, that's your MO. You love big fancy words. And when I confirmed, I did not. I said, baloney. I said, they use these words right here, and I've heard you use them. And this person doesn't use these words. And I just said, you know what? And this was a Friday or Saturday. We were due to start the job on Monday. $50,000 job. For me, that was my biggest job ever. I said, you know what? Find somebody else to do this job. They got it done. And to this day, I could probably have all of them thrown in jail because it was a commercial building. And all the work was not passed, approved, or anything. Looking back. But I won't do it. Because it's a church. Okay, it wasn't their fault that this guy was an idiot. But I said, God, what's going on? It wasn't very long after that, one of the people suffered a massive stroke. And I said, Lord, was there anything I could have done? And he just said, pray for mercy. I've prayed for mercy for that person. And I've told that person some things. I said, you need to ask God for some forgiveness. The person will not humble themselves to ask God forgiveness. They see that they did nothing wrong. Remember what? You talk against God's anointed? I'm not talking that they're sinning. You're making things up. And that's what they were doing. And I know that's where this came from because I told the owner, this person is not to be on my job. That's why it came about. Anyhow. Please heal her, O Lord, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. Why? Why would God let it happen for 7 more days? She wasn't going to learn. 7 days living as a leper, she might get the hint, you don't touch God's anointed. So many people today have no fear of crossing. I'm not talking, like I said, there is a higher, there is, but there isn't. There's a chain God uses to correct people. If I'm in sin, first off, bring it to me. Now, if I taught something from the Word of God that was truth and it stepped on your toes, don't open your mouth. Because one thing has happened over the last 14 years. I've had it to hear with people coming at me trying to justify their sin. That's it. I will not be nice to you. I'm just getting fed up with it. Because people want to live in sin. They want to keep sinning and sinning and sinning. And when I get up here without addressing anybody, even this morning, the message from the Lord, that was from God. It wasn't from me. Because trust me, my back was knotting up as tight as it could get because I didn't want to. There will be people that get mad at me for that. Yes, I have knowledge. Yes, I can see things. But did I point out anybody? No. But I almost promise you I will have people come and get mad at me. You know, why is it the messenger always gets shot? But we'll keep going in this area because there's more to understanding wisdom. Because first off, it shows me something. If anybody does, the Bible says if you correct a wise man, they will thank you, basically. They're back on track. If I'm in error and you got legitimate, not just your religious ideologies, because as far as religion's concerned, it can take a hike. I love, there's a, Creflo Dollar's got a book, Why I Hate Religion. That's a good title. Because religion's got us where we're at. We're a dead, dry, dusty body of Christ. And we're supposed to be life-giving, powerful. We should walk, bless God, we should be able to walk right down the middle of a gay and lesbian parade and the devils just start screaming. But do they? Nope. So, we're going, like I said, we're stopping there, but I am encouraging you today, just with the little bit you've got, Start getting some knowledge. And then start getting the understanding of that and how it relates to God. You've got to. That's why James said, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And when you do that, He starts revealing Himself. And I'm going to tell you right now, you better be ready to deal with the garbage He reveals in you. He doesn't reveal. If I draw near to God, oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm starting to get closer. You know what God does? He reveals garbage in His life, right? No. I tricked you. He reveals the garbage in my life. I may see something as a pastor. I may see something that's tripping him up, but sometimes it's my job to help him, go to him, talk to him about it. Other times it's my job to pray for him. But if I jump in and say, well, you know, I'm going to deliver you out of this thing, you never have to deal with it. I think that's a bit of a problem. We keep jumping in, delivering everybody, and they never learn. Anybody ever notice things keep coming back? Why aren't we always back here? It's the same ride over and over and over. Because we don't learn. We have knowledge. We know what we did, but we don't change anything. We don't get to know God and overcome. And like I said, I'm just getting into more and more. And there is no real true way to walk off from this, so stand. If you want to go. And everybody shoots right up. But know this, that God is not finished with any of us. We're all at different levels in our faith. So many people today are wondering, what can I do? Is there anything I can do? The best thing you can do is start to pray. Spend time praying for your community. You never know what's being affected. Start praying for those who spitefully use you and hurt you. Now, most of you here, at least in the county, have already heard about the break-in that happened down the street here at Extreme Tech the other night and the subsequent death of that young man. Yes, it is very sad, but I need you to understand something. The other three boys that are sitting in jail, two of them played football with Jesse. They're in jail. And one of them has been there before. Both of them are druggies. You want to know where to pray? Start praying for the youth. You, older generation, do not take this harmful. It's time for you to quit sitting back judging the youth and pray for them. They have no guidance. It started back before World War II. Just started. But World War II created a void. Fathers were killed. Lives were destroyed. And to make sure that it kept going, the devil stirred a war in Korea and then Vietnam. So we've got three generations, well, not full generations, but three eras ruined by war. There were some good people that came out of this. Yes, most, if you're in what I call the older generation, older than mine, you're not Gen Xers, baby boomers and such. You know what I'm talking about. Drugs became the norm. People started searching for things to fill a void. Do you know why these kids are stealing? All they did was steal four-wheelers, and they got stupid. First off, nobody's going to notice you're sitting there with a $10,000 four-wheeler that you didn't have yesterday. Second off, three of your buddies got caught. They're going to dime you out. So you never do stupid things with other people. You get caught, you got caught. But don't do stupid things. Young people, old people. But pray for them. Quit judging them. Quit saying they're stupid. They're sheep without a shepherd. They need people. They need to be able to look up to us. And if God has you get involved with something that can help them, bless God, you had better be there. And then get them into church. Let me help you out a little bit. Quit focusing on your problems and help somebody else. And watch what God does for your problems. We are the most selfish people on the planet. Oh, my problems. I need this. I need that. Well, if you still need, go sow a seed and do something. Quit whining to me about how much you need. You still breathing? Yep. Okay. Well, that's all you need. God will take care of you. Focus on helping somebody else. But I didn't share this to, and I think ultimately Jesse actually knew all four of the boys. That's the age. They're doing it for thrills. Because Grand Theft Auto isn't real enough anymore. They have to live out excitement in video games. And you know why? What happened? Because the church started saying that everything that was fun was evil. I'm talking there is real evil things out there. But we jump on every witch hunt coming up and down the road. That's evil. This is evil. That's evil. This is evil. This is evil. This is evil. This is evil. Really? Not any more evil than the perverse mouth that twists the scripture to control people. I thank God for a God that loves me in spite of myself. And he's continued. No matter how many times I drop the ball, he always is there. Just like the other day when I walked in and she was watching that and I sat down and I just sat there and I was like, God, you knew I needed this. I know this information. For crying out loud, I'm a pastor. I know this information. But I've forgotten it. So, don't neglect to pray. Don't neglect to say hi to somebody. I don't care if they got tattoos coming out their nose. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of the nicest people I know have tattoos. I'm looking at some of you. I know some of you got them. You got them tucked away. And I don't care. It doesn't mean you're evil. For crying out loud, a tattoo is not evil. Well, you mark yourself for the devil. If you put a marking of the devil on there, yeah. Yeah, you're not evil, Sherry. I'll stop because I'm sitting here. Okay, I know you got one, you got one, you got one. So what? I wanted chains coming out my ears at one time. The Marine Corps would have fixed me of that real quick. But listen, let's just quit judging people and start trying to love them and pray for them. And we'll see how much God can do not only in their life, but he'll start moving more in our life. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly do thank you, sir, for your many, many blessings in our lives. But Father, I pray first off that if we have grown too comfortable with you, that we no longer revere you as God, but we have reduced you down to a tag-along buddy or our co-pilot. Father, if you're my co-pilot, slap me up the side of the head so I can get out of the wrong seat and put you back where you belong as the pilot. I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are merciful, that your mercy never ends. And that every day, even when I think I've messed up so many times the day before, your mercies are new again. So, Father, I thank you that as we all go out of this place, you will help us all to learn and to grow and to become victorious Christians and not victims. Father, that we will continue to reach out and help people and touch people, speak life into their lives. And, Father, I thank you now for these people. I pray, Lord, that you bless them. Father, your word says that in all of our getting, that we should get understanding. So, Father, now, help them this week to get understanding. Not things, not positions, but understanding of you. And as we gain understanding, as your word has said, that if we will seek first, and if we'll delight ourselves in you, that you'll give us the desires of our heart. I praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.